Hello and welcome to the Foreign Desk Explainer. I'm Steve Bloomfield. This week, following Monday's terrorist attack in Manchester, Monocle's Chris Lord asks what the city can learn from its recovery from the last attack two decades ago.
The last time Manchester experienced a terror attack on its streets, it was 1996. A very different sort of attack, and in many ways, a different city.
Within the last hour, there's been an explosion in Manchester city centre. It follows a security alert earlier this morning.
The Irish Republican Army drove a Ford cargo truck laden with explosives onto Corporation Street in the centre of town. The IRA had the relative grace to warn the authorities of what they were planning 90 minutes before the blast, giving some time to evacuate people from the area. Though nobody died that day, the bomb tore through the Arndale shopping centre, injuring more than 200 people.
Move down beyond the next set of lights! Move down now!
The suicide attack on an Ariana Grande concert in the Manchester Arena this week stirred memories of 1996. But the blow it has dealt to Manchester's psyche has been very different. I was in Manchester the morning after the bomb, and the age of the victims has deeply shaken the city, as did the news that the chief suspect of the attack was born and raised locally. It's happened at a very poignant moment for Manchester, when the fortunes of this once depressed northern town seem to have turned around. Last year, on the 20th anniversary of the IRA bomb, the Manchester Evening News ran the headline, "How the City Rose from Its Ashes." The damage of that attack was more than £700 million, equating to more than £1 billion in today's sterling, and it decimated the city's main retail area, affecting an estimated 700 businesses. It drove people out of the city centre, fearful of future attacks. Yet that bomb also began one of the UK's most ambitious modern regeneration projects. With sections of the city still in rubble, the architect Ian Simpson came up with a way to reconnect two parts of the city that had once been disconnected, while the then Deputy Prime Minister, Michael Heseltine, launched a design competition with the winners looking for ways to reopen the city centre. The regeneration of downtown Manchester has not been without its urban foibles, but it's set a tone for the new face of the city. In the last few years, businesses cowed by London's soaring rents have moved their offices north. The population has grown significantly, and the BBC even shifted a sizeable number of its studios and staff up to Salford Quays. Those who remember the depressed days of the late 90s, and also the recessions of the 1980s when manufacturing businesses were shuttered in the industrial north, are now surprised to hear the term Northern Powerhouse re-enter political rhetoric. Others find it hard to believe that it can be almost impossible to find a table on a Saturday night. After the recent attack on the concert, many wondered whether this would change a city that prides itself on its nightlife. I spoke to Tony Cooper, the manager of On Bar, who has ran venues on Canal Street, the heart of the city's gay village, for 30 years. And I asked him what impact he thought the attack might have on the city's famous nightlife.
I was here back in 96 for the IRA bomb, and that hit the city centre badly. But I think people's mindsets have changed now. I don't think people will let it change the way they work, the way they go out for drinks, the way they go out and party in Manchester.
The question of what happens next for Manchester isn't just one of security. Those cranes dotting the skyline are significant for where the city was headed. So it'll need strong and clear leadership to help this city move on.
That was the Foreign Desk Explainer. My thanks to Chris Lord. The full 30-minute edition of the Foreign Desk will be available for download this Saturday. My name is Steve Bloomfield. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.